Gordon Asher Davidson with us this hour. His book is called The Transfiguration of Our World. Fascinating discussion. We're going to take some of your calls with him this hour as well. Next hour, we're talking with some producers and filmmakers of a movie called The Gallows. It is an incredible story. And then in our final hour tonight, we're going to have open lines for you on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, Gordon Asher Davidson with us. We'll get to your calls in a second. Gordon, all this information that we've been talking with you about, how did it come to you? How did you get it?
Right. Well, as I said, I've had a very long meditation practice for over 40 years.
Right.
And during the last 20 years, I actually have opened up a contact with a spiritual master, someone who is very involved with the actual implementation of this whole process we've been talking about, this plan to actually transform and transfigure the world. And so that is my contact, and through that communications, it's telepathic conversation. It's not channeling, it's an actual conversation. And in that, I can dialogue about any question, any subject. And I have been doing this for such a long time, and I use that information for making decisions and planning projects that I do, and it has proven to be extraordinarily reliable over a very long period of time, so I have a great deal of trust in it. Of course, you would have to go out in public with the kind of stuff I'm talking about.
Well, there is no question that something very unusual is happening to this planet. I can sense it with people. But here's my perspective, Gordon, and tell me what you think about it and your mm-hmm. take. Sure. I think you're probably right that the forces of light are going to defeat the forces of darkness. But I still think we're in the middle of one heck of a bad time. And, you know, it's based on my gut instinct, nothing more. But I just have a feeling that people are reacting to things in a very strange way. They seem uptight. I don't feel as if they're enlightened or particularly, you know, jovial or happy. There's something else going on here, and I still feel as if there's some force out there, some very dark negative force, which is influencing billions of people. Now, that's my feeling based on instinct.
I fundamentally agree with that. That's the current condition, because I'm not saying that the cabal has been completely eliminated and is not somewhat active in the world as it has been, but not to with the kind of power and absolute control that they had previously. But they're still very present and active, and they're always fomenting dissension and fear and anxiety and doing everything possible to make things really difficult. There's no doubt about that. I totally agree with that. The other thing that's going on, though, is when you have the descent or inflow of a tremendous amount of light and spiritual stimulation, not only does it bring in the light, but it stimulates everything in people that's not clear, that's not resolved, in order to bring it up into their attention, to their awareness, and actually help them to transform it and transmute it. That's also going on at the same time. And not only is it going on within people themselves and their own internal process, it's going on within all our institutions. Because what we have now is this massive revelation of all the corruption and deceit and manipulation that's going on, especially in the financial world, but also in the media and in politics and in the pharmaceutical industry, wherever you look. And so in my book, Transfiguration of Our World, I talk about in detail how this is actually shifting. And there's really a lot of going on that is very positively indicating that we're moving in that direction. But, you know, we're still in the middle of the process. It's not complete by any means. And so, yes, I think what you're highlighting is real for many, many people. And there are also people who are now, through their own internal process, getting to a place where they can say, okay, I see that if I hook into all that and activate the negative potential future scenarios for our planet, I'm just contributing to the problem. Whereas the idea that we are creative, powerful, spiritual creators, and that what we hold as our future actually has validity and can help create that future. That's a very powerful recognition, and that's something that the Cabal has worked very hard to prevent us from fully understanding our own creative power. And I think that's really important. And the Galactics also have a very careful calibration of the energies that they and support they give to us so that they don't override our free will, so that we have to make the choices and help, you know, deal with this darkness and control systems. And every time we do, then they can give more help and support to us because they have to honor that free will principle. But it's an ascending spiral. And so as we do more and we wake up and we see what's really going on and demand change, that means they can help us all the more. So it's a very interesting dynamic there as well. So, you know, I fundamentally agree. It's not a happy planet at the moment.
No. So what's the process in terms of timing? Well, when do we eradicate, I'll call it evil, you call it darkness, when do we start wiping that out?
Okay. Now I'm going to say some things that make my previous statement seem even mild in comparison. But what I'm getting very, very clearly is that we are moving to a point where there's going to be a tremendous inflow of energy to our planet. Fundamentally love energy, really, but very powerful and high frequency love energy that's going to pour into this planet. And in order for people to be here on the planet, they will have to have some fundamental, at some level, understanding that love is a core principle of the universe, and be able to resonate to whatever degree with that love energy. Doesn't mean people have to be perfectly loving or anything like that, but they have to be able to resonate with that frequency. If they aren't able to do so, they will not be able to remain on the planet. That's going to be the energy intensity that will come in. And that is, and I know this is quite out there in terms
It's profound, that's for sure.
It is. But we needed to have something, some way, where there can be a shifting. And all those people who can't go with love at this time, of course, all the people who are in violence and hatred and all the rest, will be taken to places or allowed to move into systems where they will find places to evolve at the frequency that they're holding based on their own internal state. But all of us here on the planet will continue to be here and be able to be in a higher state of consciousness at the same time. We're not leaving our bodies. We're not going anywhere. We're going to stay here, but we'll be able to be in this higher consciousness that there is, in fact, one life, one humanity, one world. We're all in one being. And in that higher consciousness, we will be the team that regenerates and rebuilds this planet with the help of the Galactics.
Are you saying, Gordon, that the haters are going to be taken off the planet?
Yes, I am.
Goodbye, haters.
Yes.
There's a lot of them.
Oh, indeed. Indeed there are.
So, they're going to be gone.
Yeah, they will go off into the astral plane and able to continue their evolution in like they won't even realize that they've left because the astral plane will be very similar to their life here, and then once they complete that life cycle, then they will go into places to evolve, which may not be places you'd want to go visit on vacation, but will be at the frequency that they hold. So all the people who believe in we have to fight and kill and destroy in order to survive. That's the world they'll want you to have.
Will this be like what we have grown to understand as hell?
Not really. Because, in fact, surrounding all of this and wherever people end up being is what I've been told is called the matrix of love. That everything that exists on this planet and in all systems is held by in a matrix of love. Now, human beings can violate that matrix and can do all kinds of it. We have free will. We can do whatever we choose. But that matrix still holds and surrounds every single being in our entire universe, as far as I understand. And that means they will be given a very... They'll be held, and they will be given opportunities to continue their evolution. But it will be at levels of consciousness that fit their own state when this all comes to pass.
Will we be able to change, or are they, these light forces, are these beings going to change it for us and make this a better place?
It's an absolutely co-creative, mutually created process. There is what's called the Galactic Light Alliance, which are all those civilizations who uphold the principle of free will and lighted evolution on all systems. And then there are many, many, many people now on the planet who have become aware of these civilizations and are working with them one way or another, consciously or sometimes very consciously, sometimes, you know, in sort of second or third state removed, but they're working to help humanity move us forward to, you know, raise us up and meet the needs of humanity. That cooperative relationship, which we call that the Earth Light Alliance, is now woven together with the Galactic Light Alliance in a seamless sort of chain of being from extremely high levels of being, like we're talking about with a solar consciousness, all the way down to every single being on the planet who's trying to do something good. And we are all part of one gigantic effort. And our effort and our contribution and our participation is absolutely essential to the process. They aren't going to come and do it for us, but they are going to help us at every step of the way. And every time we do anything that moves us towards that that beautiful future, they are going to support that 150% and give us all kinds of assistance. And they are protecting us from any further incursions by any negative aliens, or in supporting the and blocking any kind of more false flag events or other things that the cabal might try to do. And if you notice, we haven't had any big false flag events happen for, you know, since 9/11.
Knock on wood, huh?
Yeah, no big ones. I mean, we've had things happen. Certainly, there, you know, are these Manchurian candidate type situations with shootings and all these things.
But are you absolutely sure, Gordon, that the light is going to beat the dark?
Mm-hmm.
No doubt.
Absolutely no doubt whatsoever. It is going to happen. It's already happening. You know, I can give you more examples. I mean,
go ahead. Give us the examples, and I've got a question about the Book of Revelation. I want to throw you
away. Okay, sure. You know, one of the ways that the cabal controlled the planet and kept the galactics from actively helping us was they threatened, if they did try to come in and help, that they would unleash nuclear weapons on humanity. The cabal would threaten to do this, right, rather mm-hmm. than give up control.
True.
Well, I think it was last year in around October, it was October 7th in 2013, the U.S. Air Force General in charge of nuclear missiles, General Michael Carey, and the U.S. Naval Admiral with top nuclear weapons responsibilities, Vice Admiral Tim Giardina, were both removed from their posts. And that was part of the process. There has been a tremendous amount of turnover in the officer level of the entire military in this country. And there has been a tremendous shift in the military. The military is now 100% supporting the Galactic Light Alliance.
Now, and if you believe, though, the Book of Revelation, mm-hmm. we're going to go through a horrible time period before things get better as well. So the one thing that, you know, one might agree with what you're saying is that the light wins out in both cases. The Book of Revelation has that. Mm-hmm. You have that. So maybe that is going to happen. But in the Book of Revelation, it's a tough battle to get there. You agree with that?
Well, I understand what the Book of Revelation says, but the other thing we have to consider is, as you know, and that was written a very, very long time ago, of course, and as consciousness evolves and shifts, the necessity for that level of catastrophe and cataclysm take place in order to have the transformation it changes. Because we are growing, and also this whole thing about taking out the dark side from the earth was not expected. This is an unexpected development that occurred, you know, in 2002, and that is a game changer. it changes the whole game. All the prophecies that I've been told, all the prophecies are now in a whole new state of change and shift. The other thing is that humanity's relationship to time is radically changing, and we are learning that we actually can create time to be as we choose to have it be, and that we have the creative power to actually create time in our in subjectively the way we want it to be, and we can create the future, and by standing in the future and looking back into the present, we can change the future that we actually live in. And there's a whole science of this, and quantum physics is now talking about all this. They call them, we send alpha waves from the present into the future, and then we have echo waves coming back from the future towards us. And where they meet, we have when there's a meaningful resonance between the two, one of them or the other will shape and create an event probability, which is quantum physics. So that is exactly what we have going, and we are learning we can transform and change time. If that's true, then any prophecy, anything that's been stated as, you know, from a previous time is subject to change. And I honestly, and I've gotten tremendous amount of input on this from all my inner contact, we aren't going to have any major cataclysms on this planet. It is not part of the plan. The plan is to have the most least painful transition that we can possibly have with the least amount of disruption. I mean, if you actually examine the planet as a whole and you take the 1 billion people on the planet who don't have barely enough to survive, for them, they're already in a cataclysm. And so it's like we've been through, a lot of people have been through that and are in that right now. And we're getting to the stage where that has all been preparation so that people will be open to the possibility of a whole new way of running and organizing our world that is truly beneficial to every human being on the planet, and that they've now come to see that the corruption and the evil doing throughout the systems is so rampant that we have to come up with a new system. And that's the benefit of all the revelations that have come out about what goes on inside the systems. And it's a preparation for us to accept and people be open to and interested in new ways of organizing. And there is a clear plan to do that, which involves reorganizing the financial system. Banks will all be rechartered. Instead of being for-profit corporations, they will be public utilities. There will be no interest on money. There will be no interest for borrowing money. You will be able to borrow money for a fee, but not an unlimited amount of interest. And the wealth that has been illegally and illicitly and corrupt ways of stealing from the whole system and amassing, you know, trillions and quadrillions of dollars of wealth will be confiscated and shared with the rest of the world. Anyone who has money that's been legitimately earned will be fine. But the people who have stolen so much from humanity will not be able to sit there in their caves with their barrels of diamonds and racks of gold and think they're going to hide from the galactics with their technologies, who can locate every ounce of gold dust anywhere on the planet anytime they want. So there's going to be quite a shift in that way.
It's going to come back and bite them for sure. Gordon, stick with us. We're going to come back and take some phone calls in our final segment with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And we're back with Gordon Asher Davidson. His book is called The Transfiguration of Our World. And let's go to the calls now. Steve is truck driving in Tempe, Arizona. Stephen, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hello, George. And hello, hi, Davidson. Hey, you know, when you were, George, when you were talking about everything is kind of up in the air, you know, there's something going on.
Mm-hmm.
You were absolutely right. I felt that years ago changing. And I just want to know from Davidson that what can we do to help? What can we do to get into the light or help the light to get in?
All right,
you know,
that's fair enough.
There's got to be a positive something going on that we can change.
Mm-hmm. How does that individual help make this happen, Gordon?
Yes, that's a great question. Thank you, Steve, for that. Well, there's a lot of things we can do. I mean, first of all, to have a sense that, you know, we're not headed into a disastrous future, but we're actually headed into a wonderful, very positive future. Holding that vision and that understanding, it helps create it and make it happen. That's certainly something we can all do. And I don't know if you've ever tried meditating, but taking time to just be alone, be quiet, and tune in and sense your own inner power, your own inner light, is a really beneficial thing to do. Talking about these ideas with people you know is very valuable. And in having a kind of positive expectation about the future is really useful. And, you know, and of course, always helping people around you who you can see really have need for assistance is always a good thing to do. You know, and just watching, one of the things I like to tell people is be very careful about what you take in. You know, a lot of people are conscious about their food diet, but they're not so conscious about their media diet. But what we take in television and movies and books and whatever, that has a tremendous effect on us and on our consciousness. And a lot of it is aimed to condition us to be in fear or not trust other human beings. So it's very, very important to be very aware of what we take in on that level, as well as, you know, what we eat and how we practice. And just, you know, staying in as positive a state as we possibly can all the time. And you know, and there are, of course, there are challenges. This is not an easy world to be in right now. But things are moving, and they are definitely changing.
Gordon, what could go wrong? What could backfire to make none of this happen?
Well, as I like to say, you can't fight Solar Hall. it's really, when you think about it, if I'm accurate in what I'm saying, if the whole focus here and the whole drive and the impulse for all this to happen is coming from a solar systemic level, then there's nothing that the cabal or anyone else can do to stop it. And that's the fact. There really is no way it can be stopped. It might be possible to delay it a little bit, but it's now progressed along a certain way down the full implementation of this, that this is meant to happen relatively soon, the full transfiguration process I was describing earlier with that inflow of love coming into the planet.
Are you excited about the change?
Am I excited?
Yeah, long overdue, isn't it?
Oh my gosh, George. I mean, you know, I've been active in social change and spiritual change my entire life from a very early age. I'm now in my 70s, and I can tell you that it's like seeing the culmination of all we've all ever dreamed of, and seeing the possibility that we actually can make this a beautiful planet where people can thrive and flourish and have enough for all their basic needs. So when you wake up in the morning, it's not going to be, well, what do I need to do today to survive? You know, what kind of job am I going to have to go to make enough money to keep myself going and my family? But instead, wake up in the morning and say, what do I want to create today? Because I don't have to worry about my survival. And that's going to be one of the greatest revolutions we've ever seen. Because the subconscious fear of not having, being able to survive permeates this planet. Even people who have plenty, they still are in that kind of fear. And it's because it's so pervasive. That's part of the techniques that the cabal has used to instill that fear and that sense of insecurity so that we can be more easily controlled. Once you see that, it's very important to just not buy into it and know that when you are really committed to, you know, living your life in alignment with love and with higher truth, you will have what you need always.
Let's go to our first-time caller, Brenda, in South Bend, Indiana. Hey, Brenda, good morning.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's been a fascinating discussion, but, Gordon, I must say, I believe you're an angel of light, and that is not a compliment. I think that you're telling George's audience something that is going to happen, but it's through Jesus Christ that it's going to happen. He is ultimate love. But we're going to go through what George was talking about in the book of Revelation, a very horrible time called the Great Tribulation. And the world, as we see it now, is not full of love. It's full of hate. And you were saying the haters are going to be taken out. No, the people who are the church, will be taken out. George, this man is a liar. You need to stick with your own convictions. Thank you for taking the call.
Well, we get all views on this program, Gordon, and that.
Yes, of course. Everyone's entitled to their point of view. That's the nature of reality, absolutely.
I'd let you defend yourself, though, when she called you a liar, if you want.
Well, you know, I mean, clearly what I'm saying does not agree with her particular belief system. And, you know, and that's the nature of the world. There are people with very radically different viewpoints and thought patterns all over the world. And each one of them leads to their own conclusion of how people's lives actually are, the level and quality of the energy that they're able to contact and communicate tells you a lot about what is the effect of their belief system on them and on what the energies that they transmit.
We're with Gordon Asher Davidson, and of course, if you've been part of the discussion, you know what we're talking about. If you are just joining us, he's talking about the forces of light and darkness, with his belief is that the light will win out sooner than later. Joe is in Menomonee Falls, Wisconsin. And there you go, Joe. Go ahead.
Hey, can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Thank you, Joe.
Okay, cool. I guess I just wanted to ask your guest, is it possible for these beings to interact with you, like, physically, as, like, a bodily presence? Like, maybe you have coworkers or friends or something, and they could actually be one or the other of these beings? Is that possible? Or is it...
It is possible. There are a certain number of these beings from, I assume you by beings you mean beings from other systems beyond
systems.
Earth.
Right.
That, yes, there are some of them who are present here on the Earth, and some of them have had multiple lives here on the Earth, so they are adapted to the Earth civilization, but they actually originate from other systems. And then there are some who have come in and taken on human form in order to be able to help and assist in this whole process I'm describing. And so that's ongoing, and, you know, it's somewhat increasing because of the closeness of the relationship that's being developed between humanity and the galactic civilizations. And they really have active roles. I mean, there's many people, I mean, certainly... You know, who would have ever thought that the leader of the Pope, of the leader of the Catholic Church, would actually become a force for profound change on this planet? I never in my wildest dreams had ever imagined something like that would happen. But he is doing a tremendous service, and he is really laying out in many ways the fundamental picture of the plan of what needs to be done to bring this planet into a higher state. And even though, you know, we all know the history of the Catholic Church and all the issues, but certainly right now, this person, this individual, is doing tremendous service to raise and lift people's understanding of what's going on.
Do these light forces, Gordon, ever give you predictions of the future?
Oh, yes. I have a lot of them.
Want to throw out a few for us?
Well...
Good or bad, just what
good.
Are they?
Yeah, no, I don't get any negative scenarios for the future. I really
don't.
I do not. What I get is, okay, for instance, when we go through this process, you know, what's called this love energy flowing into the planet, there will be a release of information that will be broadcast on all of the media networks around the world in each language. They said they have about 40 hours of planned programming, which will give the true hidden history of humanity and this planet and what has actually happened on this planet. People will be told exactly how the system was manipulated and controlled, and it will be shown exactly what the purpose and intent is behind this new systems that are being offered to humanity. And, of course, we will have a choice to accept them or not, but when we see the beneficial aspects of them, such as, for instance, debt forgiveness and eliminate interest-based money, this will be a tremendous opportunity for us. That's one of the things. There's this whole potential for, well, we're going to have free energy. Free energy, as you know, which is directly pulling energy from a quantum field, is something that will be given. And many, many inventors and human inventors have already developed systems for this. Now that the cabal's control is weakening, they are starting to show up more and more and saying, this is a potential and here's how we can do it. And they are doing it in some cases. But that's going to become instituted worldwide. It will eliminate all the need for fossil fuels, eliminate huge pollution problems, and will allow for desalinization plants and then taking the water and making the deserts bloom all over the world.
Well,
the primary focus of humanity will be on the regeneration and rebuilding of our ecological natural systems on the planet. If you think about the 40% of the Arab youth who don't have anything to do, so they get sucked into this terrorism stuff, if they had a project like that that inspired them with a vision and they had the means to bring it about, that would engage the young people of this planet like nothing else.
Jim is in Newark, Delaware, east of the Rockies. Hey, Jimmy, go ahead.
Hey, George. I have a comment and a question.
Okay.
Okay, the comment is, I'm Catholic, and in my opinion, this pope is an anti-pope. The true pope that was supposed to be in there, according to St. Malachi, he called Petrus Romanus. And I believe that he was not elected, but he is the pope of the Catholic underground. Anyway, the true Catholic Church. My question is, does the return of Messiah Jesus fit into your galactic scenario?
What do you think of that, Gordon?
In fact, yes, it does. And here's the scenario the way I've been given it. The first thing is, we have to have this reorganization of all of our social systems so that we have basic stability and a reducing of the insecurity and fear on the planet. Following that, we will have the full disclosure that there are these galactic civilizations present. They have been helping us, and that they are present and we can interact with them. And following that, we will have what I call the reappearance of the Christ.
We have Peter now in Santa Monica, California. Thanks for holding, Peter. You're up with us.
Hi. I was going to just say that, like throughout history, prayer has been a very important thing. For instance, George Washington, Joan of Arc, and, say, David, who slew Goliath, they all prayed and got the inspiration so that, like, one with God is majority. So if we do have the faith, like you're saying, and we keep praying, then we by prayer we invoke the heavenly host or the celestial beings, like the angels and the different spiritual beings that work under God. And could you kind of clarify, like, by prayer, how we can invoke these spiritual beings to help with these positive things that is according to God's divine plan, if what you're saying is true, say?
Yes. Well, I mean, prayer is, it, when it's done with a sincere dedication and devotion and, you know, faith in God, is extremely powerful, as I'm sure you know. And, you know, praying that, you know, we will have the most positive outcome of our current crisis, that we will move into an age where people are, you know, loving and kind, and where we have a world where people have their basic needs met, and praying for all these things that, you know, I'm talking about is extremely important and very effective. And I totally support doing that, you know, and I certainly do that myself. And I think it's a very, very essential part of the process.
Let's go to Wayne in Chicago now. Hey, Wayne, you're up with us.
Yes, good morning. Yes, I have a brief question.
Sure.
In Revelation, all the things that are supposed to happen are set in concrete, meaning, you know, there's no way they can be changed if you read the Revelation. But according to your guess, you know, the Creator is flexible, and maybe he's changed what he wants to do. So I was wondering, how does he, you know, make that compatible with the what's in the Revelation?
I simply, through my experience of being in contact with the spiritual beings that I am and communicating with, And seeing the testing, what they have said in terms of its validity, its accuracy in predicting things, and using it in my own life, I have definitely come to the point where I can fully trust that. And I am, and I think that, you know, we as humanity are evolving and changing and growing. Yes, there's a lot of terrible things happening and there's a lot of suffering on this planet, but there's also a tremendous amount of awakening going on, and something, as George said, is happening here, and that's really important.
We've got time for maybe one or two more quick calls. Let's go to Sami.
Can I say something about just how people can get in touch with me in the future?
We'll do that right at the end, okay?
Okay, thank you.
We'll go to Sami, truck driving in Illinois. Go ahead, Sami.
Hey, this is Tommy. I'm trucking in Illinois.
Tommy, hey, you ended up being Sammy. I don't know how, but go ahead.
I don't know. My question is, you know, besides these beings that you speak with, I believe you on it. I'm wondering, do you have any other quotable sources? What is your source? What is your resource for all the claims that you're making? Because you really can't use the Bible.
Let me tell you, Tommy, they've come to him in a meditative state. Am I correct, Gordon?
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. And I've built this practice over 40 years, so it's not something that's easily, you know, just happens. You have to do it very...
Not channeling.
It's not. I'm not going unconscious at all. It's a telepathic, conscious conversation. So I actually can, you know, dialogue, ask questions, and have conversations, which is what I do.
All right, and now get your information out. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. So that, and my sense is that this is.
Gordon, we're out of time. Get your information out.
Yes, if you're interested, you can contact my website at worldtransfiguration.com. I will be offering a galactic news show starting in September, where I will give updates from all of my contact and how that's working out in the world. And I will be speaking at the UFO Con in Northern California in October, and Contact in the Desert next year, and also at the Heaven Can Wait conference in November in Los Angeles. If people,
I will see you at that one, Gordon. Be well. Up next, we're going to the gallows.